Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
This is year four. Get the bout ready. Max done. I've had it. It's over with.
The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Hits the bong.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
I do agree with Big Russ. Raise that 2013 banner.
Josh 100. Hurd, yep.
Get it done. Raise that banner and let's go get Pearl. Thanks, guys.
Goodness, what a weekend. What an absolute banger of a weekend. A couple different ways. If it bleeds, it leads locally, right, Jack?
Damn right.
If it bleeds, it leads. Louisville and Kentucky, and predictably, Indiana yesterday. A complete mess all the way around. Bellarmine won. We were there at that game. We'll get to those stories. And we got you loaded for the next 3 hours here on The Take. It's ESPN 680, 105.7, ESPNLouisville.com, the ESPN Louisville app. Andy Sweeney, that's me. Strebel made his cruise. And that's the last we've heard of him. So we don't know if he's just ignoring us, if he really wants a week away where he's like actually not going to talk. You know, like today, Dan Issel crushed Rick Pitino, and Jack reaches out and goes, hey, Big Rig, just so you know, Dan Issel crushed Rick Pitino. You love it. Nothing. It's been hours. You got absolutely nothing, did you? Jack Grossman producing effort on this Monday. 437-9680 is the UPS Jobs text line now. It's going to be me and Jackie Boy today. We're going to have a combination, Pavin, a little Phil Baker, a couple different things we're working on as we go this week. Jack, good afternoon, sir. A long weekend, hopefully a productive weekend, which means I hope you slept a bunch.
Yes,
how are you?
I did. And
did
I
you go to Bloomington, by the way?
I did not, which was probably for the better. But
it was too expensive, man. You want to go spend $120 to see your team lose by 18 to an NIT team.
Yeah, I made the decision, me and my buddies, that I was going to go with. We made the conscious decision of we're going to save money and go to the Illinois game in a few weeks and see our guy Kofi Coburn in person and watch them beat Indiana instead. But, yeah, I'm ready to rock and roll today, baby. I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to rock and roll today, baby. What kind of fake radio stuff is that?
I'm ready to go. I'm pumped.
At the end?
Yes.
A little baby at the end.
It's because one of the last clips I cut was a UofL postgame caller that said Mac needs to go hasta la vista, baby. That's where the baby came from.
Can I hear that?
In a minute, I'm pulling it up.
Whenever you have that, let me know. I would love. I somehow missed that. By the way, Ethan Moore is done. He was on the postgame show on Saturday, and he's finished, as is like everybody except for Nick.
So it's going,
right?
It's going to be me and Pat doing all the postgames the rest of the year, isn't it?
Well, I mean, maybe not, but and Pat, he had lost his voice. He sounded terrible on Saturday. Like, he sounded like he had no voice. Did you notice that?
I did. It was bizarre.
It was bizarre. I mean, did they not talk about that on the show? He sounded like he just had a huge piece of phlegm sitting on atop his vocal cords, if you will. So, it's a complete mess.
All the clips are loading right now, so in a couple seconds.
All right, there we go. Well, I didn't know if the computer broke, you know. So, Strebel's out.
Always a fair bet.
He is out in the sea, the ocean. I don't know where he's at. He had to do the whole COVID test and everything on, Sunday, yesterday. So he got really nervous and he had to do, you know, because you got to stand in line, you do a COVID test, you wait 15, 20 minutes. And
everybody's done with Chris Mack. You can pack your bags and hasta la vista, baby.
That's such a musty reference, man.
It really is.
That's such a musty reference. Straight from the 80s. It really is.
Hasta la vista, baby.
It's a 40-year-old reference, I feel like. A 35-year-old reference. All right, let's dive into it. 437-9680 is the UPS jobs text line. I'm in a rough spot today, Jack, and I'll tell you why. I'm in a rough spot because I want to lead today with U of L, but I know that the 19,000 other shows right now are also leading with U of L. So it would do me smart to talk a lot of Kentucky. But I am so damn frustrated with the way that Kentucky's basketball season has played out. Like, I feel like I'm giving the same takes. They play a big game. They get injured. Xavier Wheeler runs in to a big man from the other team, and we just continue to do the same thing over and over again. Like, it's happened how many different times? Anyway, we'll get to Kentucky in a second. But, Jack, how do we attack Louisville basketball from over the weekend? And you were in attendance, a young Jack. Who were you with? Were you with your father, a buddy? Did Ken Grossman decide to go to this game?
I was with my dad and two friends.
Okay, so you guys in your four tickets and... You know, before the game, it was, what, a 4 o'clock game? Around 1:30, 2 o'clock, you start to hear, well, it's, you know, there's a lot of people downtown. This is going to be, you know, a big atmosphere-type game. Notre Dame's walking in to a buzzsaw, Jack. I mean, these are the things that are coming out. You got Drew Diener. You got my man Blankenbaker at the Poon, hanging out at the Poon, getting ready to go across to the KFC Yum Center, and in a lot of ways, it was a begging for U of L. You know, I mean, anyone from the workers to the players to Chris Mack, but most definitely the fans, that on Russ Smith Day, at least Scott Satterfield, okay, he won on Lamar Jackson Day. It was an ugly, cold, dreary day where the skies look like the state of Ohio. But bleep it, Scott Satterfield went out there and he said, let me give you at least a little something. I'm going to give you this blowout win over my man Dino Babers. And you didn't get that. You got maybe close to a half of what of good basketball, of fine basketball. You got, what, a 7-0 lead, Jack, at one point. And I know the story here is I'm showing Rick Pitino. We will get to that because Jack was in attendance for it. But for me sitting here today, no matter what happens, the way this team has played, the Malik no comment, which was a massive comment after the game. We'll get to that sound here in just a second. You add everything together, whether you are a Chris Mack keeper or you are a guy that wants to get Chris Mack out of here. Regardless of which one you are, we all can agree that at the end of this season, there is going to have to be a decision. And now this is for the coach and this is for the program, right? Of course, they're tied together. I mean, like, we understand that. A coach is going to bring in new coaches, you know, new assistant coaches. A new vibe is going to schedule differently, perhaps, is going to get along, not get along with John Calipari, whatever it may be. But there is a conversation at the end of the year that is, what is the direction of this program going to be? And whether you like Chris Mack, you dislike Chris Mack, or are anywhere in between, you can agree that this meeting is going to happen, and Louisville has to be clarity with the athletic director position. This is happening to Louisville basketball. Louisville basketball right now is falling apart. Louisville basketball is, at the end of this season, going to be at a crossroads. If you keep Chris Mack and it continues to deteriorate, okay? I can't say that word, Jack. Why did I go with that?
Deteriorate.
I just, that's a difficult one. It's it's the back end of that word. Or he turns it around. Now, there's NCAA stuff involved. But no matter what you think about anything, there is going to have to be a decision made, or you're going to end up treating your crown jewel, men's basketball, like the football team going into this offseason. And I want to get to the similarities, the differences of the Scott Satterfield stuff and the Chris Mack stuff. But it is bleeping Russ Smith Day. The fans are asking for it. The fans are begging. And the majority of the second half, you get run off the floor. And you never had a chance. I mean, you never thought Louisville was going to win that game, did you, Jack? For how long in the second half?
The opening minutes. I mean, yeah. They had a seven-point lead at halftime. They come out. Notre Dame gets a quick and one. They cut the lead to four. I think it's like a 1-2-point game by the under 16. You're like, well, here you go again.
It is coming. It is all about now, what sort of clarity are we walking into in the offseason? Because Louisville is going to have to make a decision, a firm decision. If Chris Mack is not back, then you have to nail, and Rummage talked about this, and this is his apprehension, and I understand that. You have to nail the hire, otherwise you become Tennessee football. Otherwise, you become Florida State football. That would be the worry. And then you get somebody who's not even Chris Mack. You bring in somebody who, now I think there's 50 coaches that could do a better job. If you keep Chris Mack, if you dump Chris Mack, if there is an arranged divorce to end this marriage, whatever it may be, there is now, time is a ticking that Louisville basketball walks into the offseason. Are you going to try to do all of this and wrap it up, AD and coach, much like you did Vince Tyree and Chris Mack several years ago? Are you going to go into the offseason and make these big decisions with an interim in place? Or because of the instability, for instance, like we saw with Scott Satterfield just weeks ago, that buys another year for Chris Mack while the instability and, on top of it, the NCAA stuff is there. I mean, U of L basketball right now is an absolute mess. I mean, we know what it is. The morale is gone. When you can get absolutely dusted by Notre Dame, when you get dusted by Notre Dame with the crowd environment that you've been waiting for, knowing yet again your back is up against the wall, and hey, it's go time, right? Get a win. You started out pretty well. Get a win against Notre Dame, and you get absolutely dusted and booed off the floor. You know you're at a crossroads. And that can be keeping the coach, dumping the coach, meet in the middle. Here's a divorce. You get half. I get half. Whatever it may be. That would be number one. Number two, what scares me about this team the most out of everything is, and here's what I can't figure out, Jack, and I don't know, is all of this just because they're losing? Like, in other words, Malik right now, I would ask you this. Is Malik coming off like he's a good leader for this team?
I would argue no, not at all.
No. I mean, he. Go ahead and play his pause here. It's as long as his Malik Williams pause, as long as Streeple's pause. I mean, is he a good leader at this point, from what we have seen with him on the floor? To me, him being your leader, I'm not shocked you're having some of the issues that you are potentially having this year. Go ahead and play Malik. This is Tim Sullivan and Malik after the game. Everyone, this is what everyone's talking about.
Do you think the players are still responding to this coaching staff, or are they tuning them out? I don't have a comment for that.
I don't have a comment for that. Jack, from day one, this team has had something, have they not? I mean, before this team went to the Bahamas, they had a players-only meeting. Like, the game had just started. I mean, literally, I mean, the season had just started. I mean, it's me and my wife getting married, and I know this happens to couples, and 3 weeks in, you're talking about, well, we're going to just go ahead and get a divorce. Well, we've only been married for a couple weeks. What's going on here? Like, that's how I feel with that. Like, at that point, it's like, you guys are burning your big card here by having a players-only meeting. And apparently, they've had other ones as the season has went. But from day one, this team has not looked together. This team has not responded. And this team they haven't played well. It's like, I don't know, Jalen Withers might just stink. I mean, like, you know, Jack, I use him as an example because for a lot of these guys, especially ones that were there last year, you know, this year is as many games as they played last year, right? I mean, for the
more
most part.
Already.
Yeah, more already. So if a guy played last year, like Jalen Withers, I'm using him, and I hate to just pick on him, and I have that sample size. Well, now I have pretty much another season of sample size because of what COVID did last year. But they never were playing good basketball from the beginning of the season when they lost to Furman, right? I mean, they haven't been playing good basketball. It has been consistently miserable. I mean, it was Kentucky last year. Consistently miserable. That's what Louisville is going through right now. And the difference with all of this is we have so much time. We have so much time. I mean, we got another month and a half of this. They're not going to go far. We know they're not going to go far in the ACC tournament. But from second one, looking back at it, Jack, from the very beginning, this has not been a together team. This team has not gelled. This team has not meshed. This team, in Malik, hasn't been a good leader for this team. What was it? Was it Montrezl Harrell who got stripped of his captaincy? I can't say that word either. Was it him?
I think it was. The 2014-15 year.
I would do the exact same thing with Malik. Even Bobby V's calling out his body language. Even Bob's doing that. I mean, Malik has the worst body language. I mean, this team is done. This team is so dusted right now with what is going on, and I don't know if it's because of losing or I don't know what. I've been thinking it's because they are losing games, Jack. Because they're losing games, this is how you get to where it is toxic potentially as it is. And I think now that feeds into it quite a bit. But they were having issues at the beginning of the season, which tells me that there's something with this team that fundamentally has not been right. And I keep thinking, what if Chris Mack came out right after the season? In fact, you know what? Let me get to that later. I'll get to that later on because I think there's a lot of fans around here and we're dealing with a lot at ESPN Louisville, Jack. I believe that there's a lot of fans around here who, if Chris Mack said something after the season and they went out and got a recruit or two, they would be right back in. Like, I'm not sold that Mack is gone after the season. I want to be clear with that. I don't know how you feel about that, Jack, but I don't feel that way. Now, the other thing. Just like a jilted lover, everyone that was in there, and rightfully so, gives the big ovation to Rick Pitino, which is fantastic.
It was awesome.
Okay, so it's fantastic on 19 levels. Okay, so you were there, and you're calling it an awesome moment. That's what you're willing to say?
It was an awesome moment. I have never heard a crowd make the noise that they made.
Oh, Lord heaven.
Like, you know. Lord heaven.
So what was it? It was just in a timeout? Was it a part of a bigger package, if you will?
Yes.
Did they intro it?
No.
Okay, so what did they do?
During halftime, and they have, like, the long video honoring Russ Smith, and they have clips from teammates, clips from childhood friends, clips from Steve Masiello and Ralph Willard, and they're showing highlights and all this stuff, and then they show
Can I pause you for a second? I love how you just lumped everyone together except for Ralph Willard and Steve Masiello. Those guys, you felt the need to name those two guys.
Well, I mean, I guess you just said former assistant coaches that weren't Andre McGee. Yes.
You grouped in like 40 people there, but you named two by their names. You called them by their names, and it happened to be the old man Ralph Willard and Steve Masiello, who's been now in Massachusetts, or where? Manhattan. For like 13 years, it feels like.
He's been there
he doesn't win
anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
But then they show them holding the championship banner or the trophy in 2013, and it cuts to a video of Rick Pitino.
Oh my god!
And you know when people cheer, it's an expected noise. Or like even when you know people hit like a crazy game winning shot, or like with UCF and the pick six, like it can be surprising, but you can still process that happening. Pitino just popping up out of nowhere. It was like a shriek of stunning from the crowd.
Well,
I think I'm stunned by it. Yes, I was absolutely stunned.
A positive shriek. I like that.
That's if
we were at the game, was it a, quote, positive shriek? I would like that to be the name of the hour.
And it was...
For Jack Grossman.
I'll write that down. And it was over 90% positive. Of a reception for the Pitino video. You can hear
a couple of spattered boos,
but it was pretty close.
Man.
And it was, I have never heard a sound like that at an arena.
You'll go back to the Jilted Lover, man. Jilted Lover gave me some good times. The new lover, not so much. The new lover, not so much at all. there is a problem when your team leadership is bad leadership. And I believe that is part of it. I have been very clear on here. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. We'll take a break and get to Kentucky here in just a second. 437-9680. But I don't believe there's good leadership on this team. I don't believe they have talent. Obviously, they have talent that is better than a 500 team. And ultimately, they might not. I might have been wrong on that. And at the end of the season... the people that are going to be here, that are going to be in leadership positions, if you're going to make a move, it has to get done. A new athletic department, athletic director, I should say, he or she is going to want to come in here and not be handcuffed by someone who made a decision just a couple months before they got here. That is going to make the job less impressive. Attractive, I guess.
Yes, less attractive.
Yes, less attractive. And that is where U of L is. Everything about, listen, we know that there is a basketball issue here. But we understand that. That's why whoever is making that decision needs to be someone who is not an interim. And I don't have any other names to give you. If it's Josh Hurd, then that's fine. Then Josh Hurd, like Vince Tyre did 4 years ago, assumes responsibility. Well, okay, now this is my gig. Fine. Good, great, grand, wonderful. Then, because of that, I have a contract that is tied to him. It is the way it is in the NFL with general managers and coaches, and I believe in that here. And it would be silly. Now, what I don't know is if you say, we need to take our time and firing Chris Mack and figuring out $12 million of a payout is not one of the top things on our agenda right now as we're fighting with the IARP, the NCAA, while there's other things going on, and it buys Chris Mack another year, very much how I think Scott Satterfield got bought an additional year because of all the nonsense going on, Vince Tyre, Neela Bend Booty and everything else. So that is kind of my open. It has been a mess since day one. It has been potentially a mammoth miss in evaluation of talent. It might be personalities that just don't mesh. Obviously, they do not. And I believe it's both. And I believe it has just been on steroids by the losing. That just makes it even worse. It pours gasoline on the fire. 437-9680. On the other end, Kentucky loses That not a surprise how they lost. I guess you look at that in the LSU game. Not a surprise. We'll get to your text and why Kentucky basketball is getting the Gonzaga treatment. We talk about it next.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
I hope after the game, if Ole Miss wins, if they happen to win big,
yeah,
I hope Blank's right there walking off the field as Lane Kiffin walks off the field.
Yes.
And Lane just gives him a big old kiss.
Yeah, just mwah.
Just a big old smooch.
Right on the puss.
Just, right. Mwah.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
All right, 437-9680. Reminder, a couple different things happening tonight. Bellarmine basketball coming your way, 645 over on 93.9, the Ville and the ESPN Louisville app. And then, Louisville, Virginia. Does anyone want to watch this stupid game tonight?
Honestly, no.
Like, it's a Virginia team devoid. I mean, they're always boring, right? Like, they're always boring. You don't have to worry about that.
But at least they used to be boring and good.
Yeah, they used to have good players or guys that would, like, be in the NBA or be really good college players. And now, like, besides Kihei Clark and Armand Franklin, I have no idea who they have on their team.
Same.
Yes, I just have no idea. I'm sure I'll remember a couple names, but of course I'm not watching them.
No,
you know, 9 o'clock on the ACC network or something whenever Virginia plays. So yeah, Louisville, Virginia is the big game tonight. Usually a good game for ESPN on a Monday. Not this year.
Yeah, I feel like that's every ACC game they put on, though.
This one's usually a good one, right? There have been some really good games, some really good finishes in this series.
Yeah.
Not this one. No. I mean, Chris Mack's got to be thinking, good God, we need a win. Okay, great. Now go to Florida State. Hey, you need a win. Okay, now go to Charlottesville. So whatever. We'll get into some town. Your guy Jeff Goodman and Doug Gottlieb talking about Louisville. We can get to that later on in the show as well. Did you care about any of the NFL over the weekend?
I watched a good amount of the Packers, Niners, and almost all of the last three quarters in the overtime of Bills Chiefs.
Okay, who did you want to win in Bills and Chiefs?
I didn't care. I was just mad that the overtime rule kept Josh Allen from getting the ball and kept that game
Lord
going.
Heavens. Don't tell me you want to get into that.
We don't need to get in. I mean, it's a stupid rule, and I don't think this is the correct place to have that conversation for.
We should argue about it at 5 o'clock. It'd be funny. But I just don't care. Like, I just don't care about the conversation. Texas says, hey, guys, why didn't Jag do a postgame show yesterday? I needed an explanation for why IU lost to a terrible Michigan team at home. It's a great point, Jack. What, no IU postgame?
Well,
I didn't get any texts. Oh, Hoosiers. I didn't get any Hoosier texts yesterday at about 6 o'clock or whatever time the game ended, 5:30.
Yeah.
I didn't get any of those. A couple days prior, I mean, Mike Woodson was weeping and pointing to the crowd, and there was a storming of the court and everything else. I mean, what happened? Losing by 18 at home?
It's embarrassing. Yeah, it's pathetic. It's inexcusable. I mean, I kept hearing, I battled a couple people on Twitter over this. Oh, Michigan's more athletic. They're more talented. I was like, they're 8-7, people. They weren't a good basketball team. You don't want to be the team that the quote-unquote talent team figures it out against. That means that you're not a very good basketball team yourself.
Oh, that was the pivot? That they just have a bunch of talent?
Yeah, that Michigan's figured it out.
Man.
I'm like, guys, come on.
Do these Indiana people need a wake-up call, Jack? Do they need reality check radio?
A little bit after yesterday. Some of them.
I told you to bet that game. I told you I was going to bet that game.
I was
3.5.
I even said it on Friday. Like, I wouldn't be shocked at all if they lost the game. Obviously, I didn't think it would be that.
But by 18.
But I was oddly confident before that game started because I did not believe that Michigan was any good. And if they go out and win like 10 games in a row, then maybe it's different. But you can't say that. They're 9-7. They're closer to the NIT bubble than the NCAA tournament. Yeah. They're not a good basketball team. Yes, Dickinson's a beast, but Houston sucked all year. Brandon Johns is hitting threes. He's 29% on the season. Terrence Williams is not the same Terrence Williams that played for Louisville. He's not that guy. Man. And he's in jumpers. No, Michigan's not a good basketball team.
No, not
that's
at
an
all.
Embarrassing loss. That's a game you could not afford to lose.
Plus, it matters in the net. You don't want to lose by 18. Yeah. You want to lose by 8. That's a big deal. I don't care where they fell in the net, but
they were 32nd before. I don't know.
You deserve this. Yeah. You deserve this.
I mean, that's fine.
You all deserve. Not you, but they did.
Yeah, I thought
the people at the game, they all deserve this.
I thought the fall down loss was going to come. They play at Maryland on Saturday, so I thought that was going to be one game.
No, don't beat Danny Manning. Texas says, any stories from the poon from before the game? I wasn't there. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't there. That's Double D, man, or Blankenbaker. He'll kiss and tell. Texas says, Virginia, special season, not a special program. Texas says, I want to watch the stupid game tonight. Texas says, did Jack just get flashed or something in the middle of that sports center?
No, I wrote the score wrong.
Texas says, could you ask Jack what the score was in the U of L game? 80, I'm lost.
82-70.
Texas says, oh no, Jack, not a great sports center to start the week.
Yep.
Texas says, that'll be on the mixtape.
Yes, here's it will.
Well, here's the thing that people need to know.
I woke up to it.
Well, no, I woke up today, like, with some sort of cold. So, of course, you know, Strebel's not here, okay? And so that takes someone away from the show, which is totally fine. You know, my man's out on vacation and everything. But I'm like, I felt great for how many weeks? The one day, I have such bad allergies today. I don't know what's going on. I have felt like I've had to sneeze since 9:30 this morning. And I don't know where that came from. I don't know why this winter season I've started to have that, Jack. I have no idea. I've never had it in my life. And it's really confusing. All right, let's dive into it. 437-9680. We'll get to Louisville. We have, you know, Jack, I know you got some points. You were at the game and everything else. We'll get to that. I am, what do you want me to do? I'm beside, what do we do with Kentucky? Turn your mic off, Jack. What do we do with Kentucky? It happened again. It happened again. I mean, Kentucky basketball right now is getting that old school Gonzaga treatment. You know, the good stuff that Gonzaga used to get before they actually did, you know, the last couple years, play someone in the non-conference schedule. But Kentucky is 9 in the net. Kentucky is, what are they, Jack, 8 in the KenPom?
I think they're like 5th or 6th in KenPom.
No, they're back to 8. They're back to 8. And then, I mean, I have seen several brackets, and Mike DeCourcy will be on with us tomorrow. I've seen several brackets where they are a 3 seed, and not like the last 3 seed. And I sit here today, and I'm like, the problem that we have with Kentucky is eye test tells you that they're a pretty good team. And using the nuance of injuries and in-game injuries against LSU and Auburn, but I also can't give them those games. And I feel like they are the most loved team by the metrics and by the eye test. We talked about this before the Tennessee game. They are the most loved team that right now does not have a great resume at the very top. Jack, am I missing something? And Saturday was going to be that game. And Saturday, Kentucky came out and absolutely was ready to play. And if Ty Ty stays healthy the entire game, do I think Kentucky wins? Of course, I don't know. But obviously, there's a tons better chance than him going out. Obviously. That needs to be said. Like, that needs to be said. And so I don't know if they were going to win. I'm using nuance with the loss, but I'm not just saying, well, they would have won the game. And Kentucky is loved, and they've beat Tennessee. Like, I don't want to hear any complaining from John Calipari about anything. If the tournament were to start today, they would have four wins between quad one and quad two. Quad one opportunities, they're 2-4. And by the way, Mississippi State is not going to be that. It's going to be a quad two, and, you know, and that's just the way it's going to be. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. But, I mean, you look at Auburn's got 10 of those quad one and quad two wins. Villanova's got 7. Kansas, 9. Purdue, 6. Hell, Gonzaga's got 6. They're 6-2 in quad one. They got 4 quad one wins right now. Kentucky's 2-4. Like, I sit here today, and that confusion is where I am with Kentucky. I think Kentucky is a good team. I do. I think they're a good team. I think if Shaedon Sharpe plays, and we'll get to that, they have a chance to be a really good team. If somebody else could emerge, and God bless, he cannot play Bryce Hopkins anymore this season. I mean, he's got to sit Bryce Hopkins. I know the circumstances were out there. But, like, Kentucky's also not won the games. So they go to LSU, and you get the injuries, and it's down the stretch, and then Ty gets injured, and it's one of those things. And, I mean, the basketball community is like, yeah, well, it's a good loss. And, if they would have had Ty and Sevier Wheeler, maybe even just one of those guys, they win that game. Jack, right? This is what we've been talking about. And then they go to Auburn, and they have, I mean, it's a carbon copy. You have a guy go down early, boom, there it is, Ty Washington with the sprained ankle, and then multiple times down the stretch, there goes Wheeler, much like Ty against LSU. Now there he goes back. He's out for, whatever it was, 4, 5, 6 minutes, 2 different times, done. He's done, and now you know the game is over. And Kentucky, like the LSU game, their effort was valiant. It doesn't get them anything, but it's a valiant effort. They went out there. They lost by 9. I mean, hell, I thought they could have got blown out at that point with what they had on the floor, relying on Keon Brooks or Jacob Toppin and Davion Mintz, who played like garbage. You're sitting there saying, well, 9-point loss. You're in the game to the final couple minutes. And with LSU, boy, you're right there. You had a chance to win the game. That was my lead after LSU. Boy, you had a chance to win the game. Kentucky had chances, not nearly as many as the LSU game. Auburn's much better than Auburn, the atmosphere and everything else. And so, like, I don't sit here today, and I'm not bashing Kentucky. I see how people talk about them, and I see their metrics, and it's telling me that everything's good to go with Kentucky. And then I sit back and I say, I would like to see them win some of these games, right? And they just beat
them. If you're going to make a run in the tournament, you're going to have to win some of these games.
Yeah, and it's been nuances. Like, I want to come in here on a Monday after that game against Auburn, and I'm just being selfish. I want Sevier Wheeler to not be injured. I don't want Ty to go out when Kentucky's up 8 or whatever it was. Like, I just want them to play a game, a big game, hell, even a big road game like this, where everyone's watching in the college basketball community, and not have to pick it apart. If Ty played poorly on Saturday, then we talk about that. Well, then we have the narrative of how is he playing on the road to home? How is he playing against some of the better teams? And we can have that conversation. But the conversation is always the same with Kentucky. The loss doesn't count as much because, well, of the nuance that has to be used. Calipari after the game was saying that very thing, Jack. Calipari after the game was like, well, I don't think these will count for as much because of who we've had injured. And it's like, I want firm bleeping data points with Kentucky. Firm data points. Like when they blew Tennessee out. Firm data points like when they went on the road at Texas A&M and got that win in that environment. But then we tee up for a game. I mean, listen, there's a big difference between Tennessee and Auburn. We tee up for the game. We're ready to go. And guys are injured. And it's just, it's mind-boggling, and, like, I don't even know. Like, again, I feel like this is a good team, but I also feel like I am missing the true evaluation of this team, right?
Right.
And that's what's so frustrating, but nobody else feels that way. The computers don't feel that way. And right now, I mean, Joey Brackets, Lenardi had him as a 3 yesterday. Yet I'm sure nothing changed last night. He had him as a 3 seed, and I'm like, okay, the Auburn game's not hurting them. The LSU game really is not hurting them. I mean, listen, to be in that game, you could say it's a good thing. Mintz was bad. He did not play well. And Keon Brooks is a mess. I mean, Keon Brooks right now is a complete mess. And, I mean, what this has done, more than anything, and this is how I feel, Jack, I feel like on Saturday really started the conversation around Shaedon Sharpe, because it's been multiple games now where they've had critical injuries to the backcourt in the biggest games, and these guys are going to miss time. I mean, do you expect Ty to play tomorrow? I don't. So you're going to have Wheeler, who missed, a game or two? You're going to have Ty miss a game? Both guys have been down in multiple games, have been down, whether it be a coincidence or not, in the biggest time. Oh, if you could only have, if you could only have an extra guard sitting on the sideline. Calipari and company, think about this. Calipari and company had been able to get away with the eligibility talk for over what? They got about 2 weeks, Jack, 15, 16 days, whatever it was, 17 days. They got a little over 2 weeks to where they didn't have to worry about it, and they were winning games. So the combination of the guards were playing good, everyone was happy how Ty was playing. You had found a kind of a new dimension when you went with Ty running the team and not Sevier Wheeler, which of course you needed on Saturday, and all these different things. You're feeling good about the team, and then what happens? You have carbon copy of the LSU game. You have injuries. It's going to linger this week. That is something, that kind of an ankle is going to be something he will feel probably Saturday against Kansas. I would expect Ty to be playing tomorrow night. No idea if it were a Wednesday game. Maybe the extra day helps. The Shaedon Sharpe conversation, they got to kind of sit and chill for a couple weeks, and now it is there. And now Kentucky fans should absolutely be asking, because, I mean, I would rather put Shaedon Sharpe on the floor than Bryce Hopkins. And I know they don't play the same position. I get it. I mean, Keon Brooks is a guy that can take you out of games by his play. I mean, John Calipari is ready to yank him out of a game. He's the guy that gets yanked, if you will, right out of the game if there is a problem. And I
like
mean,
what people want Mac to do with Malik Williams.
Yeah, I just can't sit here and you can't praise, you can't wax poetically. I feel like everything is with a grain of salt now, and I'm tired of that with Kentucky, and it has to be frustrating for fans. But in the end, it's another loss, but it's not a loss that hurts you if you tell me they're a 3 seed right now in the NCAA tournament with 2 quad 1 wins, one of those being Texas A&M.
Yeah, and I think what it's a little bit of an unwritten book right now with Kentucky, because they still have chances. If Ty comes back and plays in the Kansas game, maybe that's a win, maybe that's a loss, but you get more of a better picture with that. You still have a return game at Tennessee. You have Alabama twice. You have other challenges, maybe Auburn, a rematch in the SEC tournament, to where you have more games to where if Kentucky is at full strength and loses some of those games, then they start to get penalized more. But if they win enough of those games, because they still have those opportunities left on the schedule, then you look like the excuse of the injuries for the Auburn and LSU games come to light more, and they will get rewarded higher on the seed line, I would think, right?
I think John Calipari is telling you after the game that's what he expects.
Yeah. but if Ty plays and they lose
I'm
to Kansas,
I'm so tired of it. Jack, I'm tired of it. I mean, what are we doing here?
I got some numbers for you.
All right, give me
some
numbers.
So Kentucky's average net win is 190. Mm-hmm. In the top 35, there's only 2 schools that have a worse average net win than Kentucky. And that is Murray State at 33 and Loyola Chicago at 193. And Texas at 17, so 3, my bad, at 196. Other schools that have better average net wins than Kentucky, you have the ones you would expect, you know, the Arizonas, the Gonzagas, even Gonzaga's better, Houston, Baylor, Villanova, Kansas, Purdue, those teams. And then you also have, like, Wyoming, whose average net win is 184. Marquette, who's 120. You have San Francisco at 168. Davidson at 145. I mean, Boise State at 142, TCU at 180, Chattanooga at 177.
Kentucky's in a great spot, Jack.
And I can just keep going down the list.
They're in a great spot.
Belmont's 50th of the net. Their average net win is 188. Iota's at, with Ricky P, their average net win's 175. So, I mean, Kentucky has built their resume on blowing out Tennessee. And pretty much nothing else. I get a Texas A&M, that's a fine road win. That's the type of game you got to win if you're going to be a legit team. But Kentucky doesn't have a resume right now. And
yeah, but they do.
Yes.
Yeah, but they do, though.
Yeah, but you watch them play, especially again in that Tennessee game,
and
you're
and
like,
you know,
damn,
they're good.
That's a
and
top
you know
10, 15 team.
Well, and you know they're good, and you think, and you now this shouldn't bother the computers, but and you think they win if they're healthy in those games. Like some people
right.
do,
right?
Right. Specifically that LSU game, probably.
Yeah. LSU one more so than Auburn, which is ironic, I think, because you had
Man, I don't know.
You were at full strength
I
less against
know.
LSU. I don't know, because I expected Auburn to make a run at that point anyways. I don't know if they would have won, but Auburn took control a lot more of that game than LSU
the
did.
The second tie went out, they couldn't get a shot.
Yeah, that's
the second tie went out, Wheeler wasn't running the offense, and at that point, you're stuck. And I know Shaedon Sharpe doesn't help right there, but it's now a conversation piece. And John Calipari needs to be asked about it every time he's in front of a microphone. And if he gets frustrated, so be it. He can get frustrated when someone is getting a full ride scholarship who has been there for 3 weeks. We can have the conversation of could they come in? I mean, listen, when Bryce Hopkins comes in and has to shoot the ball. I mean, he comes in, and I mean, he's got to let you know. He came in 1 minute 0 of 1 from the field and a turnover. That's what he does. That's who he is right now. It's what he does. You know he's not going to play these other guys. He's shown you in games. I mean, I thought Lance Ware might get a little bit of run. He didn't. 2 minutes, done. He played the other 38. You know where you are with this team. And I say you know where you are at the rotation of this team. As far as what this team has accomplished, it's such a weird year between how Calipari scheduled, between losing to Duke, right? Losing to Duke and not being the storyline there, and then you're forgotten about for a little bit. I don't know what to think of the Notre Dame game other than Notre Dame's beating everyone around here. Or did Indiana beat them?
Indiana did beat them, yes, I mean, somehow.
Who knows? It's college basketball. Yeah. One thing doesn't have to mean the other. Then you don't play the Louisville game, right?
Right, and that wouldn't help your resume.
Yeah, it wouldn't help your resume, but at the time, but that's still a huge part of the season.
Right.
And it's just been an odd season to where the big games that you've had some injuries. And then on top of it, like, people aren't even asking right now. Like, and I know Orlando Antigua said today that he's day-to-day, but we haven't had a conversation with, you know, how healthy is Ty going to be here?
Is he worth asking? They're in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. If he's not back tomorrow against Mississippi State becomes, you know, a game where I don't want to say it's going to be a fight because Kentucky should still win, but Davion Mintz is going to have to play good. I mean, you know, your boy Keon Brooks Keon Brooks is struggling, man. I mean, everyone talks about, wow, the young players. You know who are the ones who are really letting everyone down right now? Malik Williams, fifth-year senior. Keon Brooks. These guys have been around college basketball for like 7-8 years combined. It's those guys. Let's take a break, Jack. 437-9680. Who we got coming up? Eamon Brennan coming up. We'll talk with him next. He's from The Athletic, and we'll talk some college basketball. We'll do that next here on The Take on ESPN 680.